Okay, praise the Lord, beautiful music. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we love you. But we need to learn how to love you even more and to love each other as well. Thank you for forgiving us sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness, and literally as if we never committed the sin. It's amazing the promises that you have blessed your children with. And it's so sad the world doesn't know this. It's freely given. They can literally live for all eternity in a mansion that you made. And so thank you for blessing us with many opportunities to share our faith with them so they can make it home too. We need more family members. We're not going to stop until we get as many as we can. And so thank you for that. Please bless us with your presence even more now as we're going into the sermon. And continue to be with us this entire Sabbath day. And please, again, bless everyone on our prayer list, those we love, and well, we love them all, even those that come against us. And we offer this unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. We, on part eight, as you know, want to welcome everybody that's coming on the stream. It doesn't look like we're going to get many because, well, for obvious reasons. But hopefully some of them come in. Let's see, I don't have that many things to add because I'm only going to do the one prophecy this week on the stream with the notes and all that. But this week, we're talking about how the Antichrist has a church that literally makes war with the saints. And I do have a video that shows that the way the Catholic Church defines saints is the exact opposite of the way the Bible defines them. See, the Catholic Church is all about death, and you're going to find it out right now in this particular sermon. But and what I mean about them being all about death, in order to be a saint in the Catholic Church, you have to die first. Because they glorify death. Why? Well, Satan is the author of death. His name is Beelzebub, a name he doesn't like. He prefers Satan or the devil or someone that doesn't exist. He loves that part. You know, people, you know, fall for that. But and the reason I say he's the god of the Beelzebub, which is actually translated into English to mean the god of the dung, is because when we have the 1,000 years of peace on earth and not the way all the strange churches are preaching it, yeah, there's going to be peace for 1,000 years, but it's only because, as the prophets of old have stated, all those people that have bowed to Satan, including his fake Jesus that shows up as Messiah who touches the earth, because the real Jesus never touches the earth at the second coming. But if you don't read a Bible, or if you're reading a Bible that has those verses missing, well, then it's on you. But he, during the 1,000 years, the only reason there's peace is because everybody that worshipped him are lying on the ground dead and rotting, or dung, as it's called. And that's why he's called Beelzebub, or Lord of the Flies. A lot of people in the rock world know about that, you know, because they worship him. And the reason he's called the Lord of the Flies is because whenever anybody dies, within 3 or 4 days, that's where the flies come from. So anyway, starting this one off, Daniel 7:25, right there on the top of the notes, it says, when it speaks of Antichrist, it says, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And so Daniel prophesied that. This is what's the beauty of Daniel and Revelation. They go together perfectly. Revelation was never sealed. Daniel was. I mean, the book of Revelation is called Revelation, right? And then Revelation 13:7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And it goes on from there, as we know. But Rome has never denied that it persecuted, you know, what they called heretical Christians or heretics. Yeah, sure, they call them heretics, but when you look into what these heretics that they tortured and killed believed, they were actually Bible-believing Christians. And then, you know, reading Fox's Book of Martyrs confirms they were real Christians. History is literally drenched with all sorts of evidence proving this out in graphic manner. I mean, Jesus said in John 16, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And were you aware that in Pope John Paul II's, now he's considered a saint, and there's a reason they call him a saint now because of his Dies Domini that he wrote in 1998. I didn't post it here because it just came to mind, but, you know, that happens a lot with me. But the Dies Domini literally says you will seek laws, like civil laws, to enforce Sunday keeping. And for him to be declared a saint means now he can speak from heaven because everybody believes when you die, you go straight to heaven. And the Bible never says that. Catholicism says it because they need to have the demon show up as your dead grandma one night at the end of your bed and saying, oh, you should stop doing this or you should stop doing that. I've come from heaven to warn you. Nah, it doesn't happen. There are people up there, yeah. We know some of them by name, in fact, because of what the Bible says about Enoch, Elijah, and Moses. And, of course, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. And then the 24 elders. But the 24 elders, we have no clues what their names are. They were just the people that came out of the graves to declare unto everybody when Jesus arose that he had arisen 2,000 years ago. So were you aware that in John Paul II's globally broadcast mea culpa, which is Latin for please forgive us or something, and it has to do with asking for reconciliation, and he did this on March 12, 2000, by the way, he admitted the Roman Catholic Church killed hundreds of millions of Christians because they thought they were doing God's will, literally, just as Jesus said they would in John 16, too, because that's what Jesus talking. Hundreds of years ago, it was true in some cases that the priests thought it was right to kill Christians, but now that the man of sin has been boldly revealed, just like the prophecy said he would be today, they are, in fact, card-carrying Satanists. So we know this now. I mean, I got a couple, three videos about proof that the popes and the prelates, the cardinals and whatnot, they're devil worshippers. And so I believe that the popes all along have hated Christ, just as Nero, you know, pagan emperor Nero did when he slaughtered Christians in his day. And that's why they call him the Antichrist. Well, I got a video about him too. Nero was dead and gone. Literally dead and gone, I think, for decades, if I'm not mistaken. I think he died in 60-something, and then John the Apostle wrote Revelation in the 90s A.D., and that's when he brings up Antichrist in detail. But how would he speak of Antichrist in the future if Nero's already dead? That's why I made a video about that. So Jesus said that they're going to kick you out of the churches and kill you, thinking they're doing God's will. And then the Pope says the priests did, in fact, kick people out of the churches and then had to kill them because they thought they were doing God's will. Christian prophecy is that accurate. Strange thing is, though, the whole world missed that. All I saw after the mea culpa on March 12, 2000 was the media, because that was only 19 years ago, right? And so all the media in all the world was talking about how holy the Pope was for asking for forgiveness. And by the way, it was also prophesied that he would ask for forgiveness, even though he wasn't planning on stopping the killings, and I'll show that in a minute. But the Pope's intentions, like when he asked that forgiveness, never changed towards Christians. And I'll share a rock-hard proof of that in a moment, too, as well, you know, as well as the other thing I was talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. I do forgive the Pope, as well as all the popes, cardinals, bishops, priests, nuns, and all the governing officials under the rule of Rome that did these things. I mean, if I don't forgive them, I'm no more Christian than Satan himself. But forgiving him doesn't change history. I have forgiven and forgotten, as I am instructed to do as a Christian, because the Pope's a man just like me. He can repent just like I did. So you got to give them, you got to forgive them. But I'm also painfully aware that my Bible has these prophecies in it to help us to prepare. The prophecies as well as the wicked rulers are here for a reason. We are told in advance what the Pope is going to do simply because we are called to warn the people. As a matter of fact, I was reading about that Spirit of Prophecy last night, that the Gideon band doesn't just write out the plagues because they're so honorable and loving and Christ-like, if you will. No, it's the Gideon band's main feature, or the 144,000, as most people don't call them the Gideon band, but The 144,000 are, you know, they're not just riding out the plagues. They are chosen because they actually do the work of warning the people. It's in detail, as a matter of fact. Well, I'll share this after church, you know, if you remind me. I think it's in Great Controversy. I'll share that after church. And so we simply have to go forth. And see, that's one of the things. I've noticed this back early on in my ministry. You know, they didn't like the fact that we could tell you today what the Pope's going to do tomorrow. They didn't like that. I mean, we didn't set no dates, but and that's why they would attack. And I was even offered $6 million to shut the website down. And the website at that time was only 300 pages. I just started. Now, it's pushing 15,000. It's well over 14,000 pages. So, yes, I forgive them and all their cohorts. But the Word of God is plain. It warns us He isn't done yet. So we must study the prophecies of old so as to better understand the character of this Antichrist that we find ourselves engaging in these last days. And as usual, I'm not going to ask you to take my word for it when it comes to prophecy being fulfilled. You know, I've seen what I've seen in historic record, and so I'm going to share what I found with anyone that wants to seek the truth that I wanted to seek. So I'm going to give you a couple of quotes here. It's starting here in Box 2. Box 7, by the way, like usual, has links for some of this stuff. But box two, let me scroll up a little bit so I keep it all on screen. All right. First one here, and this is from Brief Bible Readings. Well, actually, it's Brief Bible Readings of the Home. Seventh-day Adventists know about this. Oh, and by the way, that book was changed too. I should do a video about that. The nature of Christ was changed in that book by the Seventh-day Adventist Church to reflect that fake Jesus of Rome. Oh, man, I got to dig that up because I shared that many years ago. I think it was Fire Talk. It was that long ago because I bought the book and then someone sent me the book. I said, no, I already got it. He said, no, you need to check out the one I sent you. I said, all right. And the one they sent me, because I never got to the part about the divinity of Christ in my book yet. And I got it. He says, go to the divinity section. I said, oh, wow, that's beautiful. He says, okay, now open yours. I said, oh, wow, that's not good. And so I'll share that at a later date. But it says, Brief Bible Readings, page 16 says, for teaching faith contrary to the teaching of the Church of Rome, history records the martyrdom of more than 100 million people. And in some of the books, it says 50 million. Fox's Book of Martyrs says 500 million. I got that book online, by the way. Not an easy read either. So going on, this next one is from the New Catholic Encyclopedia. Now, this is their words. Wait, hold on, I'm losing the stream on the... let me just, because it's buffering and I can't tell it's hope. All right, I lost my connection to the server too. Hold on. Oh no. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
That's not us. Okay, let's give it a minute. Oh, it says live stream is offline. All right, let's give it a minute. Everybody's coming back into the room. All right. The live stream is still offline, though. It's still saying offline. Let me try refreshing that. No, it's still saying it's down to 22. Keeps dropping. Man, I wonder if YouTube just shut me down. Let me go to YouTube real quick, see if I'm still online there. Oh, and no, it still says offline. I thought it said online. Okay, let's see. No, I'm still good on there. But they can't shut down my stream with complaints. You know, maybe the trolls did that. Maybe the trolls did it. So let me try refreshing it once again, because I don't want to try to jump in. No, it still says offline. People are coming. I just saw somebody come in. Ah, boy. I don't want to change, because if I try to change the, I don't know. Yeah, amen that, Brother Matthew. But, yeah, so this is definitely not us. This is not on our end. Let me just do a speed check real quick. But, because that looked like a trunk line going down, like somebody hit it with a tractor. Remember a couple of months ago? Yeah, a tractor ran into a telephone pole. Let's see. Where am I at? Oh, looks like we're back on the stream. Okay, never mind then. Okay, that could have been, like I said, a major hiccup. Yeah, because usually when we lose a connection, all right, let me start a test here. When will you lose a connection? Okay, we're good. I'm not even going to finish the test. Well, maybe I should finish the test because I want to see what the upload is too. But when we lose the connection, it's usually on our end and the stream stays solid. But Satan didn't like what we were talking about there. Okay, so we're only at about 7 down, but then again, we're doing a lot here. The upload looks to be around 3. That's not good. 4, maybe. So let's just, okay, we're back up to 37 in the stream. Okay, the upload's at 5. That's going to be normal for, we're using all of 5 when we have this many people in here. Okay, so I was just getting ready to go into the next quote from the New Catholic Encyclopedia, which I'm going to do now. So far we've got 11 people missing on the stream. It's like, well, we got 8 families missing on the in the room, and 3 on the radio still haven't come back. But the radio's solid. So anyway, let's continue. I'm sure it'll come back. We have nobody on the phone. The Wi-Fi in the house works. I finally fixed it, but my phone won't do it. Don't buy Motorola because, you know, a lot of people complaining about it on YouTube. So, okay, let me pick up where I left off here, get all these PMs out of the way here. Yeah, I know. It is laughable, Brother Dwayne, when Satan tries to do these silly things. So, all right, so the next quote, it says, now this is from the New Catholic Encyclopedia under the article titled Inquisition. And then there's, you know, it has to do with the Bartholomew's Day, the massacre of St. Bartholomew, which is so sad. I don't think I mentioned this in here, but the Pope literally told the people that he was sending to kill all those people in Bartholomew, or the Bartholomew Day Massacre. He told them to get back before sunrise so that he can absolve all of them of the sin of murder. So he gave them a bloodthirsty temptation, like, oh, we get to go kill? Really? And then we can come back and then we won't be guilty of all those murders? And they jumped on it, and so they went and killed a bunch of people. The Pope is so proud of that, praised what happened. There's a painting that's huge. It's like a mural, and it's got a frame and everything in the Vatican, hanging on the wall, glorifying that massacre. And it's still there after Pope John Paul II, you know, apologized, right? It's still hanging there, so they're not changing anything. If they did, they'd have moved that stuff, but they didn't. So anyway, it says, under the influence of the Germanic customs and concepts, torture was little used from the 9th to the 12th century. But with the revival of Roman law, the practice was reestablished in the 12th century. In 1252, Pope Innocent IV, one of the brothers was just talking about that, how, you know, the oxymoronic title of Pope Innocent. They do that just to make you think they're innocent. But it works with some people, right? But Pope Innocent IV, which means there's quite a few more than just one, sanctioned the infliction of torture by the civil authorities upon heretics. And torture came to have a recognized place in the procedure of the inquisitional courts. So there you have it. And okay, so next one here is from a sermon by a Catholic priest named D.S. Phelan on Sunday, December 12th, 1909. This is 20 years before they got the mortal wound started getting healed, right? He said this, during the 2,000 years, the Roman Catholic Church has been on this earth, which is a lie. That right off the bat is a lie. They didn't start until officially as a church and state until 538. So during the 2,000 years the Roman Catholic Church has been on this earth, she has warred with nearly every government in this world. The world is full of their ruins. Their thrones have toppled over and fallen. Their dynasties have come to dust. And the governments of the world today will meet the same fate if they challenge the hostility of the Church of God. And the reason they talk like that, let me stop here. The reason they talk like that is because they have brainwashed all the Christians at this. It's still by this time in 1909, they were still thinking God was a tyrant. He's going to put you in eternal hellfire, and he enjoys listening to you scream for all eternity. So when they say the hostility of the church is a good thing, and I'll prove that in a minute. Going on, it says she remains, you know, the church, she remains, she is today what she was 2,000 years ago. Again, another lie. She is today what she was during the Middle Ages. She is today what she was during the times of Protestant persecution during and since the 16th century. She is the invincible church of God, the God of this world, actually. And it's not invincible, as they're going to soon find out. God help the state that attacks her. God help the king that provokes her hostility. That's a Catholic priest, you know, a gentle representative of Jesus Christ, right? And so the next one here is from the lawless or lawfulness of persecution in the Rambler, a publication called the Rambler, on June 4th, 1849, on pages 119 and 126. And the Rambler I put here was actually an English Roman Catholic journal published in the 1800s, in the mid-1800s. And so it says the Catholic has some reason on his side when he calls for the temporal punishment of heretics, for he claims the true title of Christian for himself exclusively, and professes to be taught by the never-failing presence of the Spirit of God. It is not more morally wrong to put a man to death for heresy than for murder. And in many cases, persecution for religious opinions is not only permissible, but highly advisable and necessary. And that's where we're headed right now in America, by the way, with all the hatred of Christian and the religious laws that are coming. And you think Trump is there to help you? You'll find out in his second term. Anyway, under this next one here is, where is it? T.R. Burks, The Four Prophetic Empires, 1845 edition, pages 248 and 9. It says, under these bloody maxims, Roman Catholic decrees to kill Protestants is, they put those brackets there, I think. Those persecutions were carried on. After the signal of open martyrdom had been given in the Canons of Orleans, there followed the extirpation of the French Albanese, under the form of a crusade. The establishment of the Inquisition, the cruel attempts to extinguish the Swiss Waldenese, the martyrdom of the English Lollards, the cruel wars to exterminate the Bohemians. This is all talking about genocide, by the way, the Vatican did, right? And they actually started out with genocide, with killing the Vandals, the Rulis, and the Ostrogoths. We'll get to that later. Anyway, the burning of Hus and Jerome and multitudes of other confessors before the Reformation and afterwards, the ferocious cruelties practiced in the Netherlands, the martyrdoms of Queen Mary's reign, the extinction by fire and sword of the Reformation in Spain and Italy, by freed and open persecution in Poland, the massacre of Bartholomew that we were talking about earlier, the perjuries of the French Huguenots by the Catholic League, and all the cruelties and perjuries connected with the revocation of the Edict of Nantes, which is in France. These are the more open and conspicuous facts which explain the prophecy of Daniel 7, besides the slow and secret murders of the Holy Tribunal of the Inquisition. And then this last one I have is from an actual encyclical written by Pope Pius IX on December 6, 1866. And I'm not going to say the title of the encyclical because I don't, well, it's Quanta Cura. I guess that's not hard to pronounce. Anyway, he says, socialism, communism, clandestine societies, Bible societies, and then he says, pests of this sort must be destroyed by all means. So a Bible society is a pest, okay? And they put us right in there with communists and socialists and whatever. So anyway, some of the totals were not completely accurate in these quotes, as it was rather difficult to investigate and find each and every person Rome killed. I mean, the fact is, all of the totals were small in comparison to the actual amount. If you seek a more accurate count, I suggest the book of, you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs. This book has a far greater list of facts on this, because this was the sole reason for the writing of the book. I mean, I have the book on my site, but again, it's not an easy read, and it may strike fear in the heart of some. So only read it for research reasons, for it may affect you in a bad way. So I don't suggest it as a, but it's historic record. John Fox compiled eyewitness testimony so as to expose Roman Catholicism and those that rule under the power granted them of the devil, just as we learned earlier from what the prophecy said. So, I mean, no one put more research together on the prophetic events, on these particular prophetic events, than John Fox himself. And he calculates the number to be around 500 million killed over the years by Rome. You know, of course, no one can be 100% accurate, because especially since many of the killings were done in secret dungeons and many of the records have been destroyed by Rome so as to hide the truth, especially when Napoleon was arriving on the scene to out them publicly. So a lot of stuff was burned and they didn't let people know. Plus, how do you record three nations that were completely wiped out in the infancy of Roman Catholicism, proving it is not 2,000 years old? It happened in 538 AD, that would put the total well over a billion people dead, not counting the dungeons or the stuff they burned when Napoleon was breathing down their neck. So, and of course, I'm again speaking about the Vandals, the Heruli's, and the Ostrogoths. Those are the three horns that were uprooted in the prophecy of Daniel. They were to be annihilated so as to bring on the popes into power after pagan Rome fell, because Satan was going to give the keys of power that he had given to pagan Rome to papal Rome, you know, church and state, because that's why Caesar was moving towards that direction, and that's why they killed him, because he wanted to be a god on earth, you know, Pontificus Maximus, you know. And the Pope still uses that title, Pontificus Maximus. So no one really knows how many millions were wiped out there, or because Rome all but completely wiped out some of these races, you know, the Vandals and whatnot. There aren't any descendants alive today to even give an inkling as to how many people were killed by the Vatican when those three countries were annihilated. And many think that the Pope's mea culpa of March 12, 2000 was evidence that Rome changed. But that so-called apology was nothing more than a strategic political move so as to allow for better ascendancy among the nations that have yet to bow and worship to the Pope. You know, by the time, that's why you have all the wars we have today. It has nothing to do with, sometimes they use oil for an excuse and whatnot a lot of times, but it's usually if you don't bow to the Pope, you're the one next in line to be at war. So by the time John Paul II died, he amassed 175 nations into agreement with Pope's plans against the Christians of the world. And it's still around that today. I don't think China has jumped in yet. But we, the Seventh-day Remnant people, are found in every single nation. It's over 200 now, because they keep changing the names of these nations, and some nations are splitting, so it's over 200. So praise the Lord for that. The Lord's got us in every nation, but, you know, where there's one, there should be thousands of us out there preaching this, and that's why a lot of us have to, you know, do a little bit more work than we're used to. But anyway, this is why Pope John Paul II was installed as Pope at such a young age, and the one that was previous to him when he found out certain secrets, he didn't want to go along with it, so they murdered him, and he was John Paul I, and so John Paul II came, because you got to keep the name John Paul II. You got to have it there, because he's the only pope that not only all the titles of the office of Pope equal 666, but the name Ioannis Paulus II is also equals 666 in Latin. And so, but yeah, it was totally unlike the Vatican to have a pope so young, you know, because they, what if he ends up being a problem? They can't get him out easy enough. So they usually elect them in their 80s, you know, late 70s, early 80s. But they needed him because he needed decades to go out and get the job done. So that apology made it easy for the political leaders in every single nation to convince or convince their citizens that the Roman Catholic Church won't be killing again. Yet the very same pope that supposedly asked forgiveness for killing over 500 million Christians is the very same pope that reinstituted the office of Inquisition in 1991. I kid you not. Check it out. Where is this from? The Trumpet, February 1991, page 3. It says, the thought of a revived holy office of the Inquisition would pacify some and offend others. Nevertheless, the Holy Office still exists, only its name has been changed. Pope John Paul II has been instrumental in its revival. One may argue that this Ratzinger-run agency, because at that time, Ratzinger was just what they would call God's Rottweiler, because he was vicious. And then, of course, he later became Pope Benedict. He chose that name. But anyway, it says, one may argue that this Ratzinger-run agency is merely an attempt by the Catholic Church to root out communism or backslidden priests and their practices. However, with John Paul II's objective to implement God's mandate by creating a global church and state, which will administer... Well, let me see. I got this. I'm going to scroll it up for you so you can read along with me. It's right there in that box, box number three. God's mandate and all that, which will administer from traditional Roman Catholic theology, is enough cause for alarm. And I did a video not too long ago that a Roman Catholic chief of staff, Trump's chief of staff, stated that he's very proud to be working with Trump because they're actually implementing Roman Catholic policy, Roman Catholic dogma into American policy. So they're doing exactly what prophecy said they're going to do. It's that amazingly accurate. So Malachi, he goes on and says, Malachi Martin has already stated in his book, The Keys of This Blood, that the Pope will not tolerate any belief systems that oppose his, not on a civil or church level. In John Paul II, the world will behold a tyrant who will coldly execute direct orders against those whom he deems are heretics or immoral. Moreover, like the papal predecessors, John Paul II will carry out his godly mandate in the name of Christ or perhaps Mary. May God help us all. And so when people saw that, the obvious question was, why is he apologizing in March 2000 when he already reopened the Office of Inquisition 9 years prior and saw hundreds of millions tortured and killed at their hands during the Inquisition? Because they plan to start killing again. In fact, if you look into the Vatican's connection with the Nation of Islam, I got a page on the website all about it. I think it's in box seven, is it? Nope. All right. Yeah, it's just Chrislam. I titled it, you know, remnagod.org/chrislam.htm. But if you look into the Vatican connections with Islam, you'll see they have been using them, the Muslims, to kill just as they had used Roman Catholic Emperor Adolf Hitler in his day. Also notice how the same exact bloodthirsty, torturous methods that were used by the Catholic priests during the Inquisitions were also used by Hitler in his day, and now the Muslims use them today. Prophecy can't lie. They're going to do it the same way because they're all the same entity. So as we learned earlier, the Word of God said the mortal wound would be healed. And this beast would come back in full force again right before Jesus returns. And so it will. This is why all the churches now have the 501c3 contract, making them a graphic image of the beast in Rome so as to help the Pope bring on the religious laws known as the prophesied mark of the beast. He can't do what he wants to do unless the churches are in agreement with him. One can easily see this beast snarling in how it boldly proclaims its agenda without fear of reprisal. Notice what they said 21 years before signing that contract with Mussolini that gave them back their church and state power in 1929, just as the Lord prophesied they would. The mortal wound started healing. Check it out. It says, where is this? There it is. Yeah, okay, it's right underneath. It's in box three. It's right underneath that trumpet quote. This is from the Western Watchman on December 24th, 1908. It says, the Catholic Church has persecuted. When she thinks it is good to use physical force, she will use it. Will the Catholic Church give bond that she will not persecute? The Catholic Church gives no bonds for her good behavior. And they say that because, like I said earlier, they've already painted God as a tyrant. So they figure it's okay to be like that because they're, oh, we're just being godlike. You know, just as Jesus said in John 16:2, they actually think the killings and torture is good behavior that pleases God the Father. But look at the verse 3 of John 16. Jesus himself says, right after saying that they think they're doing God a service, he says, Jesus says, himself says, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. That boldly confirms that on March 12, 2000, Pope John Paul II admitted to all the world that the Roman Catholic Church does not know the Father or Jesus. To deny that is to deny the very words of Jesus Christ himself. But then again, it's not the first time we've ever done that. This church really is drunken with the blood of the saints, just as Revelation 17:6 put it. Still, some will say, well, this is modern day. This can't happen now. We are civilized. I guess they keep forgetting about the Muslims, but and they go, oh, that was hundreds of years ago. Well, are you aware that the Vatican is right now in court dealing with all that it was doing in the Nazi prison camps? You know, but, well, actually, I don't think they're in court anymore. That's right. When John Paul II died, you know, the court case ended because he was the one that was the defendant, if you will. So let me just correct this in my notes, because I'm going to make this into a page on the website, as a matter of fact, all of this. So let me just get, okay, done. All right, so where do I have this? When they were in court, when John Paul II was alive, they were being sued during his pontificate. The actual, and I couldn't believe this happened to me. I thought, you're giving me exclusive? Come on, man, I ain't got that many people hitting the site back then. The actual lawyers suing the Pope gave me first rights to publish their findings online during those years of court proceedings. After each court date, they would email me the court transcript. I have all the facts on my Vatican War Crimes page. If you scroll down, it's the first link in Box 7 right there. All right. And you can get these notes later. All right, so anyway, they blessed me with that. And here's one small article from that page. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, because this one here in Box 4, it says they're all together. I'm not going to read all that. I'm just going to read certain excerpts from it. As a matter of fact, I think that's all I put in there was the excerpts. This thing was huge. Yeah, I think I just put in the excerpts here. Yeah. Anyway, this is what it says. It's on page 38 of Time magazine, no less, April 3rd, 2000. And the title of the article was, They Are All Together. And some guy named Bill is going back and forth with some guy named, I forget the other guy's name. It's on the website. The whole thing is on the, it's going to be on the new, it's on the old Characteristics of Antichrist page, and it's going to be on the new Characteristics of Antichrist page as soon as I update it. So anyway, people, and this is what it says, people don't realize that the Catholic Church was involved in this stuff. And then Bill says, up to its eyeballs, priests were directly involved in the mass murders. We want people whose families were taken to Jasovnik in Nazi war. It was a concentration camp and never returned. We want evidence of people being killed. We want any documents, photographs, testimonies. There's a lot of material out there that we know people have. The Serbs have never brought it forward. The Serbs always said, well, God knows what happened, so we don't have to parade this material around to show people evidence. It sounds like the Pope got to them. In other words, you share it, we'll kill you. Anyway, going on, it says, well, yes, you do, and that's been probably the biggest mistake the Serbs made in the last 55 years. We haven't made clear to people what really happened. There still are some survivors out there, and of course, family members are killed at Jasovnik. Jasonovic. And don't forget, and this is the one that I got the bulk of the stuff on, he says, and don't forget the Ustashi killed people through Serbia and Bosnia as well as Ukraine. Jasovnik was a trial balloon on how to effectively slaughter, and you get, this is not going to be easy to hear in a minute. It says, slaughtered large numbers of people. It was controlled by this clerical fascist regime in Croatia under the control of the Catholic Church. Jasovnik was the first death camp, the test case. The Nazis wanted to see how many people it was possible to kill in how much time, the organizational problems and so on, and doing all that, right? This was before Auschwitz and the others. They didn't have gas chambers at Jasovnik. So what they did was bludgeon people to death or disembowel or dismember them. It didn't take any bullets. They needed bullets to fight the war. They had contests at Jasovnik every night to see who could kill the most in one night. Yeah, that's right. That's the reason for the to see who can kill the most in one night. They should have not put that period there. Anyway, one particular priest, Catholic priest, won by killing 1,500 Serbs in an evening. Not all day, in an evening. This guy was he must have been drenched in blood by the time he got done. Think about that. Bloodthirsty. This is why the plague of blood goes upon them, because they're thirsty and they're worthy of it. Anyway, this is all documented, it says. Since there were over 600,000 or 700,000 people who were killed, there should be a bunch of people out there like me. My relatives were all killed. They're all together in common graves. The Jews, the Roma, the Serbs, the Ukrainians, all together. It is outrageous that the world does not know about this and about the terrible role the Vatican played, both in leading the fascist Ustashi and in hoarding this money, and that's the reason for the main lawsuits, and later in making sure the killers got away. The Vatican set up the actual escape routes for the Ustashi. These murderers were also Roman Catholic priests, fled to Argentina, Canada, and the United States after the war, with these false passports prepared from inside the Vatican rat line. This is documented in the book Unholy Trinity by Ahrens and Loftus. And by the way, that rat line is the reason for Pope Benedict, which is Ratzinger, and John Paul II. John Paul II sold the gas for his parents. His parents manufactured the gas that killed the Jews and the Christians and the blacks. That's their three main targets, right? The Nazis did. But you only hear about the Jews, but anyway, John Paul, and I got a write-up about it on my John Paul II page on the website. He sold it. He was the salesman. He was the family salesman for it. And so he was hidden by the Vatican after the war lost, after the Nazis lost, because they figured if we win, these guys are going to be millionaires, right? No, they lost. So they just pushed him into the Vatican and they acted like priests. Ratzinger was a gunner on a rooftop killing American soldiers, anybody that flew over to try to stop the Nazis, he was out there killing them with that big old gigantic machine. And that's why, if you ever notice, look at his hand sometimes, one of his thumbs is split down the center, and they didn't sew it back. It looks like he did what I did when I was young and I ripped a toe off. He just, you put it back together, and in my case, I put toilet paper and duct tape around it, and it'll just seal itself, as long as you don't get infection. You don't let it get dirty or anything, because instantly I did that. I didn't even wash it. I just wrapped it real quick. Should have probably washed it, but I didn't. So I'm almost done, by the way. So anyway, to go into a little bit here as to why we go through what we go through as Christians, many that hate me and my ministry proclaimed that page with all the court transcripts was a farce, from those lawyers. But when I got permission to put the lawyers' phone numbers, their addresses and email addresses on the same page to stop the scoffers, they have not since commented it at all. And their phone numbers are still there, by the way, and the email, all that stuff, and their names. That page also has a rather extensive list of links on the same topic as well. So, but one more thing before moving on to the next prophecy, which we're going to do maybe next Sabbath. I don't know. It depends on how the Lord, builds the week for us here. To prove the bloodthirsty demons of Rome are still very active in the church, were you aware that in May of 2002, and I chimed in on this and they removed all my comments, the EWTN, which is Eternal Word Television Network, that's a Roman Catholic cable television network thing. My mom used to watch them all the time when I was, after I left the Catholic Church, even before, I think. So EWTN, Roman Catholic Television Network's website, posted because they had a blog on it. So they posted a conversation on their blog that spoke of all the positive benefits of burning heretics at the stake in 2002. Okay? I have all the posts before EWTN deleted them word for word, still on my Evils of EWTN page on the website. The link is, of course, box 7. It's link number 2. All right? It's shocking to read. And at the same time, it's very obvious how they are still bloodthirsty in posting that comment thread about burning people alive on Eternal Word Television Network's blog proves they are actually looking for people crazed enough to help them kill again. Because some of the Catholic people that were... It was a Catholic priest that was having the conversation. And some of the Catholic people from the church were going back and forth with him, and the majority of them were convinced by him that, yeah, we under, yeah, that makes sense, that's good. And so I chimed in, and that's when it really went nuts. You know, I started, okay, what about this? You know, I started putting scripture, and then they got all upset, of course. And so, as I stated earlier, Pope John Paul II called all non-heretics in his globally broadcast Mea Culpa of March 12, 2000, and then 2 years later, they put this stuff up, right? 2 years later. But were you also aware there are many nations the world over where Roman Catholicism is a large part of the laws of the land? And as prophesied, the United States is soon to be one of those nations. I talked about this earlier, about a video I did. I did this video on June 2nd, 2019, because it just came out, this statement. The video is titled, Catholicism Will Be Law in USA. And it confirms we are next in line for the global takeover, the Vatican's global takeover. Christian prophecy is that accurate. Kind of makes this next quote more gruesome then, doesn't it? Okay, and this one is box 5. It says the Archbishop, this is from Cardinal Bellarmine. He's a so-called famous champion of Romanism that was cited by Schumacher on page 76. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the second quote. The first quote is from Joshua Strong in a book titled Our Country, chapter 5, on paragraphs 2 and 4. It says, the Archbishop of St. Louis said heresy and unbelief are crimes, and in Christian countries, as in Italy and Spain, for instance, where all people are Catholics and where the Catholic religion is an essential part of the law of the land, they are punished as crimes. See, that's why religious laws are coming to USA, right? This is how it works. This prophecy is going to be fulfilled. No getting around it. It says, every cardinal, archbishop, and bishop in the Catholic Church takes an oath of allegiance to the Pope in which occur the following words, heretic, schismatics, and rebels to our said Lord, the Pope, or his aforesaid successors, I will to my utmost persecute and oppose. And then from Schumacher's book on page 76, it says, experience teaches that there is no other remedy for the evil but to put heretics, which are Protestants, to death. For the Romish Church proceeded gradually and tried. Every remedy. At first, she merely excommunicated them. Afterwards, she added a fine. Then she banished them. And finally, she was constrained to put them to death. You know, with the One World Church globally confirmed now, and I got a video about that, by the way. It happened on May 4th, 2019. And this One World Church embraces not just Christians, but Muslims, Jews, all of them. And they you know, televised this signing with the head Muslim, with the Pope, signing it on TV on February 4th, 2019. And then with the One World Government that's been on paper since September of 2000. And then the Roman International Criminal Court, which was formed in April of 1999. And now there's current talks of a cashless society, and I think India is like 85% cashless now. And they got over a billion people, so they've already figured out all the problems on how to deal with that. That's why they do these things. And then all of a sudden go global. They try. It's just like with the United Nations, yeah, what they were doing in Europe. That was just testing grounds for the One World Government so that they could split the nation into 10 separate kingdoms. Which that's already happened, you know, that as of September of 2000. It's on paper. They just haven't dropped the bomb, you know, outside, And when it's not finished, in other words, if the ball hasn't rolled down the hill to the point where you can't stop it, they'll deny it. We've got quotes like crazy from the U.S. presidents and all these politicians saying, oh, no, we don't want a one-world government. No new, no world or nothing. And as soon as Bush Sr., you know, got into office, he constantly spoke of the New World Order, which was a coined phrase from Adolf Hitler. He was the first to use it. So according to prophecy, Rome will do as she desires. Can we stop it? No. All we can do is get ourselves ready to meet Jesus, because you can't change Christian prophecy. For signs like this prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is indeed coming very, very soon, a lot sooner than most people think. And so go forth in the same spirit of Elijah that John the Baptist had 2,000 years ago, so as to warn the people to get their house ready for the coming of the Lord. And always remember what the prophet Isaiah said long ago, as you go forth in Christ. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." And so we're in good company. We're going to be hated by the world, obviously, not a problem. We were warned in advance. We have a Bible. We know this stuff, so we can prepare and get to that point where we just trust the Lord. Look at all the little trials and tribulations that he gives you in your life now to help you get ready for that day when it finally gets here. Thank him. Praise him for that. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. God bless.
Like a river,
thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence and changing the showbread on this Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us what we need to get through this week, and let us all come again next week to be in your presence and to be in each other's presence as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, all those that were mentioned earlier, and everyone that's doing the work with a strong hedge of angels. And please bless those that are going to be traveling soon with a strong hedge of angels all about them. And thank you so much for forgiving us and showing us how much you love us and cleansing us so that we are worthy of the latter rain. And thank you for teaching us never to stand with an unconfessed prayer, or unconfessed sin, rather. And thank you for our salvation and the joy of our salvation. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.